You can tell us what the parsha is.
The parsha is Vayakel. And we're going to talk a little about tshuva, even though it may not be timely, but it fits into the parsha. You know that there are two, there are like two big issues that have to do with the parsha Vayakel. One of them is, why do we need it exactly after Truma and Tetzaveh? Anybody is used to doing Pamayim Mikro with Rashi, right? Pamayim Mikro Vecha Targum, that's what the halacha says, but we don't usually, it's supposed to be clarifying. Since most people don't understand the Targum was substituted by Rashi. So this is a wonderful parsha because there's hardly any Rashi. Because all of the matters containing connected to the building of the Mishkan have already been explained by Rashi. In fact, Rashi here and there tells you, check what I wrote in Truma, check what I wrote in Tetzaveh. So the first problem with Vayakel and Pekudeh, of course, is what do you need it for? What do you need Truma and Tetzaveh? I mean, Rashi, the first Rashi in Vayakel, the first Rashi in Vayakel says that this parsha was said on Yom HaKippurim, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai and started to teach B'nai Israel the Torah. So when exactly were Truma and Tetzaveh stated? When were they taught to B'nai Israel? There doesn't seem to be any particular time that would fit in. I mean, it could be that Truma and Tetzaveh were actually taught to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, but never taught to B'nai Israel. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai the first time, he found this terrible situation in the Machaneh, and there was certainly no option to start teaching people Torah. Somehow the situation had to be clarified, changed. So it may be that Truma and Tetzaveh represent the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu learned, but which he never taught. When did he teach it? He taught it when he came down from Har Sinai on Yom HaKippurim, right after the 120 days. 40 days in Har Sinai, then another 40 days in the Machaneh, another 40 days on Har Sinai again. So again, let's say a possibility. I'm just, you know, making it up, of course. But it's a possibility that Truma Tetzaveh are part of what Moshe Rabbeinu learned during the 40 days that he was on the mountain, which originally was intended to be the material that he taught B'nai Israel when he came down from the mountain. But when he came down from the mountain, he saw the Chet HaEgel. And there was no time then to start teaching the niceties of Torah. So then Moshe Rabbeinu, so Truma Tetzaveh existed but was never taught. And then Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai again for another 40 days and came down on Yom Kippur. And then Rashi says on Yom Kippur, Moshe Rabbeinu started to teach about the Mishkan. To teach B'nai Yisrael about the Mishkan. And everybody knows that Vayakel is about the physical Mishkan, and Pekudeh is more about the Kelim and the Big Day Kuhuna. So, I don't know if we've answered anything by making this supposition. Probably not, because you still don't understand why it's in the Torah. Why is it written in the Torah? Again, Truma and Tetzaveh, I don't want to get mixed up here. If my contention is correct that that Truma and Tetzaveh were never taught to B'nai Israel, but they were only learned by Moshe Rabbeinu, and then Moshe Rabbeinu taught by Yakel Pekudeh to B'nai Israel. So why are Truma and Tetzaveh in the Torah at all? Why are they written extensively in the Torah? I mean, I've said my own attempt at explaining this doesn't really get us very far. Doesn't really get us very far because I can't understand why Truma Tetzaveh is in the Torah. I mean, what is its purpose? And even though when we learn, as Rashi says, Rashi explains the Mishkan in Truman Tetzaveh at length, and not in Vayakha Pekudei, so we tend to learn about things in Truma Tetzaveh, but so what? I still don't understand why Truma Tetzaveh exists. That's the first question, the first issue that we come up to when we get to Vayakha. The second issue that I would like to bring to the fore is, well, how does building the Mishkan relate to the Cheta Egel? I mean, in terms of what happened was there was the Cheta Egel, then Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai another 40 days or 40 nights, they came down, and the next day he said, let's build a Mishkan. Well, what happened to the Cheta Egel exactly? What happened? So let's start from that problem. You see the first source. The pasuk that comes after Moshe Rabbeinu discusses the future of Am Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and is able to achieve a kind of a peace between God and Bnei Yisrael, that God will not destroy the entire nation. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "V'ata lech." Nechayet ha'am asher dibarti lach. Right? Nechayet ha'am. Okay, make them rest. Make them relax. Direct them. That's the first part of the pasuk. The second part of the pasuk is, Hine malachi yelech lefanecha. My angel will lead you. My angel will lead you, you will lead them. What does that mean, my angel will lead you? That means that it won't be Hashem who is leading Bnei Yisrael, but it's God's angel. It was like God's way of saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're alive, your nation, you're all alive, but you're not forgiven. Nothing is the same after the Cheta Egel. The first thing is Malachi Yelech Lefanecha. And then the third part is, V'yom pakti, upakadati aleim chatatam. V'yom pakti, the days that I remember you, that I think about you, that I point at you, V'yom pakti, upakadati aleim chatatam. So Rashi explains these things as follows. Ata lech b'chayet ha'am el asher dibarti lach. Yesh kan lach eitzel dibur b'mekom elecha. In other words, asher dibarti, asher in Hebrew. What does that mean? Dibarti lach. It should be dibarti elecha. Rashi says, elecha means I said to you. Dibarti lach, I spoke lach. It doesn't kind of exactly fit in. And he says, Yesh kan lach eitzel dibur b'mekom elecha. That's what Rashi says. That it's okay. Even though statistically it's rarer, it's okay. And then he brings an example of another pasuk where the same thing is also true. That's the first part. The second part, Hine Malachi, Rashi says, you see the Rashi? Velo Ani. In other words, Ani, if God would lead Bnei Yisrael, that was the original intention, that God would lead Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Canaan, but that's changed. After the Cheta Egel, it'll be an angel. You have to be satisfied with an angel. Uve Yom Pakdi Upakadati, Atashamati, Elecha, Milchalotam Yachad. The way Rashi says it, it's so quite remarkable that God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, I listen to you, Moshe, Milchalotam Yachad. I am not going to destroy them. You said I shouldn't destroy it, but I listen to you. V'tamid tamid, but forever after, Kishe efkod aleihem avonoteihem, forever after when I have to respond to their misdeeds and punish them, upakadati alehem ma'at min ha'avon hazeh im sha'ar ha'avonot. I will kind of give you, punish you a little bit for the chayta egel, whatever I punish you for something else, for something else, sha'ar ha'avonot, ve'ei pu'ein pu'anut ba'al Yisrael, she'ein ba'ktsat mi'pira'on avon ha'egel. This is a pasuk in the parish of Ki Tisa. The parish of Ki Tisa is the parish of the Cheta Egel. The Cheta Egel. So what does this say? It says there's nothing you can do. It sounds like nothing you can do. There's no tshuva that applies to this situation. In other words, Bnei Yisrael were guilty. God said they are so guilty that they're going to be destroyed. Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, don't do it. You know, we have other things that you have to consider. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, okay. But that doesn't mean that I forgive them. There's no forgiveness. There's going to be an ongoing, eternal punishment for the Cheta Egel. Now, in this regard, I want to mention a Rambam. The Rambam, of course, is based on a Gemara. But the Gemara is in Sanhedrin, also in Yuma, I think, but in Sanhedrin. And this is what the Rambam says. You see, next to the last source on the page, Rambam Hilchot Shuvah, Perek Zayin Alachad Dalet. Do you see that? So the Rambam says this, Al Yidame Adam Baal Tshuva. A person who is a Baal Tshuva means who grabs onto this Midah of Tshuva. Baal Tshuva. A person who is a Baal Tshuva, Shehu Meruchat Mimalat HaTzadikim Mipnei HaAvonot V'chataot She'asah. This guy can't say about himself, or this woman can't say about herself, that he's a tzaddik or that she's a tzaddik. They're very far, both of them are very far away from tzaddikim, mipnei ha'avonot v'chataot she'asah, because of all the transgressions that he participated in. Ein hadavar kein. A person should not think of himself in that way. A person should not think of himself as being less than the tzaddikim, right, who are always doing the right thing. Ein hadavar kein, ella. However, what is correct is that he is ahuv, beloved, v'nechmad, pleasant, who lifnei haborei, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he is beloved, he is special, lifnei haborei, ki ilu lo chatam olam. In other words, the power of tshuva is so great that it changes him from being a sinner, I mean a repentant sinner, we're changing from being a repentant sinner into being a righteous person. It's as though ki'ilu lo chatam olam, the Rambam says. That's what tshuva can do. Tshuva doesn't just get you through. Tshuva is not like antibiotics, right? Tshuva is not like you did something wrong, so you might get punished. You do tshuva, you don't get punished. But the stain of what you did may remain. Who said? Nobody said it disappears. Why would you think that it disappears? The stain remains. So the Rambam says, no. No, ki'ilu lo chata me'olam. That's the power of tshuva. The power of tshuva is that the result is that you are very similar to the tzaddikim. You're like the tzaddikim, shelo chatu me'olam. Lo'om. Furthermore, the Rambam says, Scharo harbe, he gets a lot of reward. a lot of sachar. Sharei ta'am, ta'am ha'chet, upirish bimenu, v'kavash yitzro. There you have it. He says the greater person is the person who sinned, and then kavash yitzro, he overcame his inclination to sin, and that puts him on a higher level than the tzaddikim, than the ones who never sinned, who were always in the right place at the right time. This guy is Charo Habei. He gets a lot of reward. Sharei ta'am ta'am achet, upirish mimenu vekovash yitzro. And he is able to overcome his inclination. Amru chachamim, and to prove this point, the Rambam quotes the famous quote that's in the Yerushalmi, Amru chachamim, Makom shebalei tshuva omdim, ein tzadikim gemurim yicholim lamod bo, and that means that the balei tshuva are like, if there's a like a level, like there are stairs, the balei tshuva at the top of the stairs, and the tzadikim can't make it up to ein tzadikim gemurim yicholim lamod bo. They can't get up to that. Klomar, ma'alatan gidola. Me'malat elu shelochat ume olam, they are there. They are higher yet than the ones who have never, than those who have never sinned. Tzadikim gemurim, mipnei shem kovshim yitzram yoter mehet, because they are more involved with overcoming their evil inclination than the tzadikim. The tzadikim, you know, they stay away from trouble. They don't get involved in anything. They have no, they don't even know what you're talking about. If you say something that is a little, that has to do with politics or has to do with interpersonal relations of strange kinds, so they don't know. They don't know anything about it. They're not kovash yitzram because they don't allow the yetzer to have a real place. But the people who sinned and are repented. Well, this is explained in, you know, various Hasidic works. The Pritzadik in Takarat HaShavim, the Shem Yishmuel, and talks about Shuvah at the end of Sefer Dvarim. There are many, many Hasidic attempts to analyze this Rambam. This Rambam, and one of the ways of looking at it is that to move from a very low place to a very high place includes movement. And that movement is what is missing with the tzaddikim. They don't have any movement. They're always in the same place. And movement implies, as the Rambam says, some degree of control over the Yetzer Hara that did you in. Like you fought the battle and you won. Right, whereas the tzaddikim, as the way the Rambam describes it, the tzaddikim don't even fight the fight. So if I think about the Chet Ha'egel, I think about the Chet Ha'egel, you know, it's interesting. I think I pointed out last week, that the Egel, as a symbol, remained part of the tradition of Am Yisrael, and we talked about, remember about Rechavam and Yerovam ben Nebat, who built two mikdashim, one in Beit El and one in Dan, right? And the mikdash housed the statue of an egel, azahav. I mean, in spite of what happened to Bnei Yisrael, somehow he thought that would be the best attraction, the best way to attract people to the competitive Beit HaMikdash. But I left out, and I wanted to mention that, you know, one of the Kelim of the Beit HaMikdash is the Kiyor. I remember the Kiyor? Mm-hmm. It's like a tureen, a soup tureen with water in it. And then there were spigots on the side so that the Kohanim could wash their hands and feet whenever it was obligatory to wash their hands and feet before they did the Avodah. Shlomo HaMelech, that was in the Mishkan. there was like a reasonable size soup tureen that was used for this purpose. But Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the Beit HaMikdash, built a very fancy soup tureen. It was so fancy that it was so big. It was so big that it was called a yam, ocean. That's how big it was. Now this yam that he built, it was like imagine a very, very big soup tureen, like a tremendous amount of water in it, you know, that's just so that you could be proud of the kelim that were built for the Beit HaMikdash. So this soup tureen needed a base. It had to rest because it was round. Right? So you're not going to just put it down on the ground, it'll fall over. And if it doesn't fall over, it will almost fall over. So what you do is you build a base, right? Now, how would you build a base? With the simple way of building a base is you take stones, you make a square, some kind of a square, whatever, and you fill it in with dirt and a little bit of something that is like cement. And then you put the tureen in it and it stays there, right? What did Shlomo HaMelech do? He put these oxen, these 12 figures, 12 oxen around, like back to back. They stood back to back. The yam was placed upon them. So again, you have the model of an egel that somehow is, I don't know, impressed onto the mental workings of Am Yisrael. Obviously, he must have done it because he thought it would be a good idea, even though he knew about the Egel HaZahav. He, Shlomo HaMelech, knew about everything, so he knew about the Egel HaZahav. Okay, so I just wanted I left that out, and I wanted to mention it. I don't understand it. I don't have a rationale for why they used the Egel after the Chet HaEgel. I think that was... but it was not uncommon. It was not common in shuls. In shuls in Eastern European and Western European, they copied the shuls from Eastern Europe. But in Eastern Europe, the shuls had a lot of figurines in them. I think I mentioned it. Because I grew up in a shul that was a copy of a shul from Eastern Europe. You know, they had a balcony for women and windows that were very tall and were, what do they call that? Colored glass.
Stained glass.
What?
Stained glass.
Yeah, stained glass windows with designs, and the bottom we had, who donated it, right? All those, and on top of the Aron Kodesh, in the shul I davened in when I was a kid, top of the Aron Kodesh, there was a globe, right? Top of the Aron Kodesh, there was a globe. What should we do? You have to go down. Is it open?
No.
No. So there was this globe. You know, globe like a globe. You couldn't see countries or anything, but there was this round thing that's also called a globe, right? At top of the globe, there was an eagle that had a claw stuck into the, one claw into the globe, and another claw hanging up in the air, and the eagle had its wings spread in a very kind of exciting manner. And I didn't even notice it because I went to the shul when I was a kid. So it was always there. You know, you don't notice things that are always there. And then elsewhere in the hall, there were these kinds of designs. I guess there was a time when it didn't cost that much to add that to the shul design. So these things, animals hanging around, you're showing something about creation. You have to go to the Great Synagogue. If you go to the Great Synagogue, they have those kind of windows. right? Also with designs. That's a little subdued because, you know, I guess somebody figured out that they shouldn't have too many animals, but they have other things. They have things representing the 12 tribes. That was the way shuls were built, with 12 windows. Right, this shul, the great synagogue, I think, has some windows in the front and some on the sides. I don't know exactly, I don't remember how it goes exactly, but you could go there, take a look. So that's what I wanted to mention. Now let's get back to the Rashi on Egel HaZahav. Rashi says, you could never cure the problem. It's fixed. That's what the Kodesh Baruch Hu said in that pasuk. Let's look at another few psukim. Okay, go back to the top. Kumi itchem truma l'Hashem kol nediv libo. So Hebrew, in the pasuk says kumi itchem truma l'Hashem. Okay, I understand that. Truma is a contribution, and l'Hashem means it's going to be for serving God, for worshiping God. I mean, it doesn't mean that God needs the contribution. Okay, it's l'shem Hashem. That's what Rashi always says. But then the person who gives the donation is called Nediv Lev. Nediv Lev. Now, what's Nediv Lev? Why give him that name of Nediv Lev? So Rashi says, Nediv Lev, or Nediv Libo, Al Shem Shelibo, Nedavo, Karui Nediv Lev. Al Shem Shelibo, Nedavo, since it all comes from his heart. It comes from his heart. Like, what does the heart, what does the heart do? The heart creates Kavanah, right? Creates intention. Nediv Libo, Kvar Perashti Nidvata Mishkan Lafto B'Makom Tzava Atan. He just Rashi saying, if you want to know more about the Mishkan, you have to look at Truma and Tetzave, because I already explained all those things. But here he takes the trouble to explain Nediv Lev. Al Shem Shelibo Nidavo. What does that mean? Is that, I mean, when a person gives staka, is that libo nidavo? Or is it something else, nidavo? Libo, his heart, nidavo. Got him to contribute, right? His heart, the contribution comes from his heart. Libo nidavo. Vapeirashti nidvata mishka, etc. That's one pasuk. Then, again, another pasuk in Vayakel. Vayavo anashim al hanashim. Vayavo anashim al anashim. That means something. Men more than women. The men more than women. Men more than women. What? Kol nediv leiv, heviyu. Right. All the people who were in this category of nediv leiv, they brought all the various gold and silver, all the ornaments. Right. They brought it all for Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi explains Anashim Al Anashim Im Anashim. Al, the word Al, those little words, you know, prepositions, they're tricky, very hard to kind of pin them down. So Rashi says Al Anashim means Im Anashim. Usmuchim Alehem. They came together. They did it all together. Okay, another pasuk. The third group of psukim here. Vayikhu milifnei Moshe et kol hatruma sheviu bnei Yisrael lemelechet avodat hakodesh laasot ota. This is like a tough pasuk. Vayikhu. They took milifnei Moshe. Moshe was standing there and watching them. Right, vayikru et kol haTruma sheviu bnei Yisrael et kol haTruma sheviu bnei Yisrael, all of the truma that bnei Yisrael built, and then it says lemelechet avodat hakodesh lasot otah. limlechet, for the work that they were going to do of avodat hakodesh, this sacred job they had, la'asot ota, la'asot, to do it. Ve'hem eviyu elav od nidava baboker baboker, and they brought more contributions baboker baboker, morning after morning after morning. That's what the pasuk says. Vayavo'u kol hachachamim osim et kol melechet hakodesh, and all the chachamim who were doing this work. Ish ish mim lachto. Each person came and did what he knew how to do. Asher hem osim. The next pasuk says, Vayomru el Moshe lemor. And they came and they told Moshe, and all these artisans, the people who were building things and making things for the Mishkan, they said, Marbima am lavi midei avodalim lacha, asher tziva Hashem lasot ota. They're bringing too much stuff. Tell them to stop. We can't use all of this jewelry that they're bringing in, all the silver and the gold and the fine linens, etc. Tell them to stop. Lavi bidei avodah v'chasher tzivah Hashem lasot ota. We have more than enough to accomplish what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to accomplish. Pasuk Vav, Vayitzav Moshe, Vayaviru kol b'machane lemor. And so Moshe Rabbeinu, like, announced, right, they sent out this message into the entire camp, and they said, Ish v'ishah adi yasu od melacha l'trumat ha-kodesh. V'yikaleh ha-me'avi. So the message was, stop donating. We have more than enough money to build the building. V'yikaleh ha-am me'avi. If you look at the Rashi, you see the middle of the first line, Lishon Minia, they stopped. Moshe Rabbeinu said, stop, and they stopped. So you see, Vayakel, there's something in the story of Vayakel that doesn't exist in Truma and Tetzave. Vayakel is not only the command to build the Mishkan, but it also describes what happened while they were building the Mishkan. And one of the things that happened while they were building the Mishkan was that they had simply collected too much gold and silver, etc. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, like a side story, Moshe Rabbeinu received direction from the artisans that they had more than they needed. And so Moshe Rabbeinu stopped and he said, don't give any more money. We have enough money. And the pasuk says, Vayikalei ha'am me'lehavi. Vayikalei ha'am me'lehavi. They stopped bringing stuff. They stopped. The last pasuk in this group of psukim, the group of psukim, v'amlacha ita dayam, l'kol amlacha lasot ota v'hoter. V'amlacha, what they did, what they had to do, what they had to make, ita dayam. There was enough. They had enough stuff collected to do whatever it is they had to do. L'chol amlacha la'asot ota v'hoter. Voter in Hebrew means, is the word yoter. There's more than enough. They had enough and they had more than enough. So they, even though Moshe Rabbeinu told them to stop bringing donations, they ended up with an excess of donations. That's the v'hoter. So if you look at that Rashi says, you see that we saw the Vayikalei, Bidei Avodah, you see Pasukei, Yoteh Mikdei Tzorech Avodah. They had more stuff than they needed for whatever it was they were going to make. V'amlacha ita dayam, l'chol amlacha, amlacha. They brought enough for the people who were making the Mishkan. Right? They had more than enough. They had enough to do what they had to do and to have extra. to leave, to have extra left over. The less Rashi, the hotar, kimo, lachabedet libo. Okay, so this is again a grammatical point. So here you have a story in the story. It's not only about what they have to make the Mishkan, but something interesting happened along the way. And that interesting thing was that they were more than enough. They collected more than enough, so much so that they begged Moshe Rabbeinu to stop them from bringing any more. And Moshe Rabbeinu sent out the word, and he said, stop, just like he said, bring, donate, right? He also said, stop, something that never happens in our time. But that's what happened, right? Dvarim, you see the last extra pasuk there. Eila dvarim asher dibei Moshe kol Yisrael ve'evi yadei midbar barabah monsuf ve'im parana ve'itof l'vah chazor v'di zahav. The last words in that pasuk are di zahav. What is di? Basically, zahav, of course, is gold. What does Rashi say about di zahav? Ochichan al ha'egel. This is the book of Dvarim. Moshe Rabbeinu is about to talk to them about the cheta, about the various indiscretions that they had during the time they were in the midbar, and he's going to talk to them about the egel she'asah b'shvil rov zahav she'hayah lahem. Why did they make the egel she'asu b'shvil rov zahav she'hayah lahem? Rov zahav. Why did they make the egel? Because they had a lot of gold. Rashi says. They like extra gold. They didn't have extra gold. They wouldn't have made the egel, I guess. Shneimar v'kesef herbeiti la v'zahav asu lebaal. It's the same idea that they had all this gold, so they gave it to the Baal. The Baal was an idolatrous, the name of an idolater. So you see, before we get to the Svat Emet, who kind of tries to fix all of this up for us, we had this problem with the Chet HaEgel, which remained part of the subconscious of Am Yisrael, at least until the end of the Northern Kingdom under Uraeus, which was begun by Yeravam ben Nevat. Then we've discovered that there's a difference between Truma and Tetzaveh and Vayakel and Pekudeh. That Truma Tetzaveh is what you're supposed to do. Make this, do this, set up that. This is how it works. It's a plan. It's a plan for making the Mishkan. Vayakel Pekudeh, you have the same thing, the same plan in Vayakel Pekudeh. But you also have something, some information about how it actually was when they built the Mishkan. And the thing that we looked at was the fact that there was too much money collected, and since there was all this money collected, they had to stop it somehow. They couldn't keep up these donations. So here we are. We're up to the Svat Emet. You see the Svat Emet? B'shem Mori Uskeni Zal. Mori Uskeni is the Chidushi Arim. Right? Remember, the first Gera Rebbe was the Chidushi Arim, Reish Yud Mem. Reish Yud Mem, Yitzchak Meir. His name was Rottenberg, but they changed it because it was like, good, they wanted to send him to jail, so he changed his name, and they couldn't find him. That's good. So the Chidush HaRim, his son died at a young age, and he brought up his grandson in his house. He became the in loco parentis of his grandson, who became the Svat Emet. Right? So the first Gera Rebbe was the Chidush HaRim, and that's why the second Gera Rebbe was the grandson of the Chidush HaRim. We're after his book, the Svat Emet. We call it the Svat Emet. And that's why he quotes B'shem Mori Uskeni. Mori Uskeni is his grandfather. he says, Zal b'pasuk, ha'anashim al hanashim. Remember that pasuk, ha'anashim al hanashim? It's the third thing on the page, the third quote. Right? Shmot perek lamed hei pasuk ha'bet. It says, v'yevo ha'anashim al hanashim. What did Rashi say that meant? Al hanashim? Im hanashim. Right? That they were kind of leaned on them. They came together with them. He says, Anashim al Anashim, Lirmoz, Ma'alat Ba'alei Tshuva. Lirmoz, Ma'alat Ba'alei Tshuva. What is he referring to? He's referring to the Rambam. Right? He's referring to the Rambam. We can safely say that the Sfata met through the Rambam in Hilchot Tshuva. Moz Ma'alat Ba'alei Tshuva, Sha'anashim Shechat'u, Nit'alu. Al anashim shelo chatu. He says that's what it means. The words in the pasuk yevo anashim al hanashim, that the men were more exalted than the women. Why were the men more exalted than the women? Because they built the egel azahav. They, the men, built the egel azahav, and not the women, and therefore. Therefore, they must have done tshuva. I mean, they're still alive. They're still alive. They must have done tshuva. This is ma'alat ba'alei tshuva she'anashim shechatu nitalu al anashim shelo chatu. The women did not sin. The chet ha'egel. Ki hitu kol haritzonot litnadev b'leiv shalem. How do I know that they did tshuva? The Sfat Emet says, quoting his grandfather, how do I know that they must have done tshuva? Look at the words. He says, ki, along the second line, he too kol haritzonot, they overwhelmed all of the desires that they may have had, litnadev b'leiv shalem. And that's why the Pasuk emphasizes it again and again, that they were nedivei lev, that their contribution came from the heart. From the heart meaning that they didn't do it in order to get to be honored in some way, to get kavod, etc. Mitnadei b'lev shalem. Ukitiv, and further in the pasuk, it says, Vehem hevi you, right? Vehem, only do later. Yes, Vehum et ne Moshe, Asher hevi you b'nei Yisrael. Oktiv, Vehem hevi you, od nidava, that they brought even more than was necessary. They came again, od nidava. Od hu yoter mehaseder v'derech ha-teva. Od, the word od, means more than was normal, more than what was reasonable. That's how I know that they did tshuva. Vaboker, they came again and again. Uvechek tivrak, but they built the Egel Azahav, Katuv Rak Vayashkimu, that they got up in the morning. But doesn't say Baboker. Day after day after day, they came and they gave, they were in the Divei Lev. They came every day with the new contribution, right? Vekan Ketiv Baboker. Here in giving money to the Beit HaMikdash, it says Baboker. V'katav, amlacha haita dayam. That's in the second source in Pasuk Zayin. Amlacha haita dayam. Perusho, what does that mean? Al amitnadim shenitkinu kulam bekoach nidava umlacha zo. Amlacha of giving, the malacha of giving was enough to make them into these balei tshuva. That's what the Sfat Emet says. Kimo halashon shekatav ba'achet v'di zahav. Enough zahav. There was enough zahav to accomplish whatever had to be accomplished. V'ata netkan hakol. And now, everything is fixed. Everything is fixed. That the Chet HaEgel was fixed by the way in which they contributed to the Mishkan. They were nedive lev, directed by the heart. Umimele v'hoter. And obviously, it'll turn out to be excessive. Ki kshenitkinu achar chet. Because after they fixed things after the Chet HaEgel, and they had this merit that the Shekhinah was in them in the working of their hands, the Shekhinah, because that's how you could build. Otherwise, you couldn't build the Mishkan. They became worthy of the Mishkan, of building it, of being in it. Memela, who yitrod maala. So memela, obviously, they're on a higher level. They get to this very high level. Remember the Rambam? Ein tzadikim gemurim yicholim la'amod. So they must have been anshei ma'alah. They must have been able to stand in that way, in the way of the Gemara, that tzadikim gemurim yicholim la'amod. V'zeh shekatuv. Sha'al yedei sha'aita dayam lachein vehoter. Since it was enough, it became more. There was more that was necessary because of the way they were when they contributed. And then he finalizes by saying, v'yitachein lefaresh lekol hamlacha. You see, the pasuk says, Pasuk Zayin, Perek Lamed, Vav Pasuk Zayin. Hamlacha haita dayam, lekol hamlacha laasot ota. Right? There's like a further interpretation. Lekol hamlacha, all the work that they did, laasot ota. What do you need the word laasot ota for? Kol hamlacha. Of course, you lasot ota. So the Sfat Emet says, "V'yitachem v'fareish lekol hamlacha hu klal habriya shenasa pgam al yedei achay." So it's a reference to the entire world, which became unacceptable because of the Chet HaEgel, like the world was no longer the world that God wanted. God said in history, said, okay, we'll put up with the Chet of Adam and Chava. Okay, we'll put up the Chet of the door of Noach. But eventually, there has to be an Am Yisrael who could accept the Torah at face value. And that was ended, or that was destroyed by the Chet HaEgel, where the Jews, the Am Yisrael, who received the Torah, proved that they were not worthy. So if they were not worthy, there's no world. The world is not worthy. So he said, "Shenasei pigam al yedei hachet b'chol ha'olam, b'chol ha'olam, v'al yedei hanedava." His last point, because they gave, as they gave, and they were nedive lev. Nitkan la'asot. La'asot is a word that's used in Bereishit. Hashem bara Elokim la'asot. That the asiyah has to be perfect. So again, he says la'asot u'lishon tikun ve'od ve'hotar. That not only did they do what had to be done, but they did more than what had to be done. So you see that if you think about it, you'll see that the Sfat Emet cannot accept Rashi's understanding of that pasuk, which said that the promise that God made to Bnei Yisrael would be that they'd always be punished no matter what would happen. But it could be, if you're looking for some way of resolving all of these things together, I told you that pasuk, B'yopot V'yopakadati, that pasuk is in Perek Lamed Bet. Perek Lamed Bet is in Kitisa. It's the summary of the Cheta Egel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the Cheta Egel leaves you. He says, even though Moshe Rabbeinu announced to Bnei Yisrael, okay, we're moving on, everything's fine. 1,000 people, we got rid of 1,000 people, the Cheta Egel, everybody else will kind of sneak through. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, you're not in the clear. You, Bnei Yisrael, not in the Yom Potir Pekadati. However, at least according to the Sfat Emet, the building of the Mishkan could only be accomplished if they achieved the status of Baalei Tshuva. Right? They had to achieve the status of Baalei Tshuva. So it could be that pasuk, the first pasuk that we learned, and the Rashi, has to be understood by Kodesh Baruch Hu said, look, if you stay the way you are, then Biyom Pakti Upakadati, I will punish you always for the Cheta Egel. But if you do tshuva and are able to really build the Mishkan, then you'll be in the clear. Then you'll really be in the clear, because Baalei Tshuva can stand even in a place that Tzaddik and Geburim can't stand, because they have traveled the distance from, you know, wherever the lowest point imaginable is to the highest point that is imaginable. So I don't know if we've sort of dealt with, we've taken care of the problem, but we've dealt with it, and it seems to me that at least the Sfat Emet suggests that the building of the Mishkan itself, not just following the orders, but being involved, the Divei Lev, the Hoter, Baboker, all of those are indications about how Bnei Yisrael were involved in the building of the Mishkan. And that involvement gives them the status of Baalei Tshuva. It's like they rejected whatever happened before that they had done, and they accepted upon themselves the burden of the Mishkan. And having accepted that burden, they are now, we're able to say, at least about them, about Bnei Yisrael, that they are B'makom Shabbat Tshuva Omdim. Even Tzaddikim Gemurim can't imagine the place, and that would produce kapara, atonement, even for the Cheta Egel. Good Shabbos.